live, and baseball proves why we don't have 316 minutes of extra time in our kicky ball. Fuck, it's the Vocal Minority Podcast.
Raise your voice. I feel like there would be a certain entertainment level from just a keep going until someone scores kind of extra time. You know, eventually people would get tired or injured or what have you. And, I think however it ended, the winning goal is probably going to be like comedy error based.
Oh, so, sloppy as hell. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I do love a good hockey playoff game that goes into like five overtimes, because it's usually like it's the shittiest shit goal that ever shitted.
Because was it the Flyers in not 2000 and
there was
it
a game,
like 4:30 in the morning. I don't know. I was up watching it, and someone called me because they knew I would be up watching it. So I was like, why is my phone ringing? Hello? Knew you'd be up.
Back in the 90s, I feel like there was a game between
Edmonton and Dallas?
No, Pittsburgh, and I think it was Washington. And like basically what happened is that the two goalies were putting on a fucking clinic on how to be the greatest goalie of all time in one night. And again, it was the shittiest, dirty, like just crap ass goal that broke the deadlock in like six overtimes or five overtimes, whatever it was. But like both goalies were the only ones that apparently had any energy or adrenaline to keep themselves upright. And like stacking the pads, split saves. I'm like, buddy, you've been fucking playing for 4 hours now. Like, just you can go. You can let this one go if you want. No one's going to be mad. You've already you both have got 72 saves. It's okay. You're fine.
So the game I'm talking about was May 4th, 2000, Flyers and the Penguins. Five overtimes.
Well, maybe it was maybe it was that game.
Mm-hmm.
It was, it was so late.
Yeah, but my God, how good was it?
Oh, it was great. I love that I got to watch it and see it happen and stuff. And the fact that, it was one of those series. It was one of those games. It was pretty cool. I don't know if staying up till 3 a.m. You know what? No, that was worth it too. That was still, that was a cool thing.
Historic.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
Yeah. Regardless of the outcome in that particular game. Right. This is not a baseball podcast or a hockey podcast. Allegedly, it's a soccer podcast. So let's start it. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Vocal Minority Podcast. Podcast that is briefly taking a break from the sports birds to talk about soccer, because this was the only day in which the sports birds were not playing. On this episode, we're going to try to catch up on a bunch of stuff. Lots of Canadian soccer news and happening. So TFC's surprising season ending win, TFC's locker clear out, media day extravaganza, stumble by Hamilton in the playoffs, epic Why You Guys Halifax match of madness. More difficulties for the XNT, NSL's exciting first year almost at an end, and more. Now this week's panel. He loves the baseball. He loves it. He will stay up all hours, no matter what. Say hello to Duncan.
Yeah, I have been. I'm beginning to regret it. I feel tired. But yes, good work with the sports birds there, Kristen. Apparently the actual baseball team is getting a little
I don't want us to get in trouble.
Finicky about their trademarks and everything. It's like, yeah.
They went after Sneaky D's, for God's sake.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Who goes goes after Sneaky D's? Nobody.
So no, it's the Sneaky Birds. Okay. Sure.
How much the Sneaky Birds alone, get? They should be left alone. You know? Yeah. The only one who has attended a soccer match in the last, I don't know how many weeks. Say hello to Mark Hinckley.
Like Duncan, I also regret because of the outcome. It didn't go on forever, but anyway, yeah, great to be here.
Felt like it did. Yeah. It felt like it did.
Mm-hmm.
As for me, I have seen some highlights of some games. That's it. But I've watched a lot of baseball. A lot of baseball. Which has been, honestly, a lot of fun. And remembering the when back when they won, because I was living here. So fun host fact. When Joe Carter hit his home run, I was living up at Bathurst and Eglinton. My friend and I were watching the game in my apartment, and he hit it, and we just looked at each other and we threw our stuff on. And we hoofed it. Jumped on the subway, got downtown, celebrated for hours, just like joined the mob of madness. And then because the city was just mobbed, we walked home from downtown because you could not get transit. You could obviously not get cabs. It was impossible. And by the time there was anything available, we were almost back to my place. But I just remember like the last hour approaching my apartment. It was like, oh, this may have been a mistake, but it wasn't. It was super fun. So, yes.
And excellent.
At one point in time, I believe my grandmother bought my brothers and I, a piece of turf from the Sky Dome from the World Series win. Official MLB memorabilia, which okay. I still have.
Do you still have that? Okay.
Yes. In fact, I can see it right now. It usually lives on top of that huge set of bookshelves I have. I have a few bits of sportsy memorabilia. So I've pulled down two things through this series. I've pulled down the piece of turf, and I've placed it in front of the television. And next to the television is my Cito Gaston bobblehead. And he's helping watch the games.
I presume when you say piece of turf, sort of yeah. back in the day there in sort of early 90s, and they just sort of like chipped off some of the paint that they'd put on the cement floor. It's just some green paint chips.
Exactly. It's just a box of green paint chips. That's all
yeah,
it is.
Okay. Makes sense.
Anyway, my grandmother was a great one for things like that. When a Canadian team, because she rooted for them all quite equally, actually. She just liked it when Canadian teams won stuff. So she would get us things like that. And that was something she gave us all for Christmas that year. So anyway, I was like, ooh, right. Because it lives up with my sportsy stuff. So yeah, so now it's guarding the television during the series.
Excellent.
Anyway,
delightful.
I am your host, Krista Knowles. Let's do a show. What's been happening? Well, the Jays have come out. But seriously, Trey Savage, so much fun. If you don't know about this kid, man, you should. As a role player.
Name sounds made up.
I look forward to there being a whole bunch of babies in like Toronto and Canada being called "You Savage" 9 months from now. It might work better as a middle name.
His college nickname was Ice Trey, and I guess it's carrying over. So I saw that. Ice I saw a few. Mm. Yeah. So it was kind of funny. Sounds made up. I know. All right. What's been happening? Lots of things that are not baseball related. I swear they're all soccer related. TFC. We're not going to go into the match details or anything like that. I just want to like say that for a match in which the visiting team, which was Orlando, who was looking to better their playoff position and got trounced by Toronto, which was lovely, quite frankly. Like, I was delighted for Toronto, because once all the D was gone, we might as well have a victory. Why not? And to have like a resounding victory, to have George Michael score a couple goals, Jonathan Osorio, all of those things, really, really great way for them to end the season, and to build on what we've all been talking about, in terms of some consistency and some positivity heading into the off season. I also feel the need to mention that that was Jonathan Osorio's 69th goal for TFC.
Good. Good for him. Well done. Excellent.
Richie Larea nominated for, or yeah, he's a finalist for MLS Comeback Player of the Year. That's exciting. Congratulations, Richie. And
What was he coming back from? It was a bit of an injury. I don't remember being.
Nottingham. It was, yeah. Right,
Premier League.
that'll do it. That'll do it.
And I
Also
don't
in
feel
that
like he was
match,
out all year or anything. I
but he
don't,
was out
not particularly
for a
serious.
chunk, it seemed. Anyway, Sean Johnson, one of his saves in that match was his 1300th save in MLS regular season play,
Okay. Which
becoming
is
only the fifth goalkeeper in league history to reach that milestone.
crazy because he began the season with only 806.
I mean,
Defense. Clap, clap, clap.
so yeah, so just like and the match looked well attended, seemed like a decent crowd. I think we'll talk about their media day and stuff in a little while, but anyway, for the players that were there, and again, to build on the last couple months, I'm happy that they went out on a win. Like, that's, I don't feel like we've had a lot, well, we haven't had a lot of positivity around TFC, and it always feels like the last match day has been just dire kind of thing. So I appreciate the fans that were there and people that were watching, and just in general to have that positive note to go out on.
Yeah, I feel like everything about that last game was just completely both unexpected, and I feel like the culmination of all the little bits of progress that we've seen over the last, I don't know, since he took over. So it's just weird and unfortunate that it was all kind of in a 4-0 game where Orlando's place in the standings, I don't think could have changed, or if it did, it couldn't change much. And Toronto couldn't really improve its fortunes with a winner. So, it was nice to see them, though, actually be able to put together 4 goals in a game. Wasn't expecting that.
I know.
And I don't mean this like, I don't mean it in a condescending way. I genuinely believe that they have been getting better from May, June. Like I could see remarkable improvements in small spots, but putting it together as a, shall we say, a full body of work for 90 minutes seemed like a long ways away. And Orlando did not know how to handle it. And I thought that was kind of funny. And it just seems like a very both, again, bizarre and appropriate way for the season to end.
Yeah, bizarre is definitely a good word for it. I mean, like you said, there's clearly been improvement defensively, at least. That entire draw streak there, there's competence here, if not particularly extravagant winning like skill competence. But you know, he's got a good defense at least. That's a base to be working on next year, and then to, I guess, end it. Oh, hey, we'll win and score four goals, isn't it? Okay, that's
It did sort of seem,
sure.
yeah, like a little, bet you didn't know we could do that. And we're like, no, we didn't. What the hell? I don't know. I hope it means that they have found a way to like start to rediscover some fun in the game, if that makes sense, right? Like soccer teams you
It
like. Go ahead.
means nothing. I mean, not in a way that's going to carry over to next year. It's a nice little memory to have for a day or two at the end of things, but then, it's not going to carry over to next year.
Why
Because it's like half the team's disappearing, and
But some of
it's
them are
months
staying.
away.
It is true. It's months away. It's like five. Well, I don't know. 4, 5 months. Anyway, it's a long time. You're right. You're right. You're right. Fine.
I'm here to rain on parades.
I mean, it would be. It's weird when you don't. So.
Right, yes.
That's
I do what I
anyway.
can. Gotta
Thank you. Appreciate you. Love you, Duncan.
keep up
Appearances.
sure, let's go with that.
Expectations. I
Was
Yeah.
going to say our carefully defined roles within the show.
Yeah, that as well, yes.
That as well. Yeah. Got to stick within our characters. I mean, our absolute normal personalities. What are you talking about?
Yep, gotta stick to the bit.
Commit
Commit to the bit.
to the bit. Speaking of committing, Campiel Catcha playoff edition. The YU guys Halifax match. Holy shit.
Fucking
What
nailed
happened? Now, I missed basically this entire thing because I didn't know that it was still happening because I thought it was over. Because I didn't realize there were delays. And I think I had come home from work or come home from something and then like glanced at my phone and went, wait, what? What is, huh? That was bonkers.
Yeah, that was kind of it's typical of York United, a team that just does not know how to just stay the fuck down. Like Vancouver FC, but with a defense. Not really, as the story reveals itself during this episode. Yeah, they were for all intents and purposes, it was a really good back and forth match, with Halifax scooping one just before halftime, so 1-0, and then about, because I think there was, I want to say there was like 6 or 7 minutes of extra time, but basically, like 85th minute, it was really close to the end. York tied it up, fantastic. They go into the extra time. The first 15 minutes was back and forth, not a lot happening. Fine. Second part, the second half of extra time, lightning threatened lightning in the distance. Everybody get the fuck out of the stadium. And then it seemed like 10 minutes later they came back out and it's like, everybody get the fuck back in the stadium. I was a little alarmed because two things. One, their entire stadium's made of fucking aluminum.
Yeah, there's nowhere to
Yeah,
hide in that
that was
stadium.
the thing.
Taking I'll die for this club way too far. But my favorite part was I think KJ was on the sideline and they were trying to, see if he had any inside knowledge as to like what the refs were thinking, while he was talking and saying like, there have been reports that there is lightning not far from here. And then he got asked the second question. While he was answering that question, you could distinctly see a bolt in the background. Like, did nobody want to talk about that on like in the studio? I mean, I saw it. And I've got like one of the last feeds in the, on the planet, from when it gets recorded to when it gets to a house, based on any watch along I've done. So fine. They bugger off. But this one was a lot longer. It was like 20, 25 minutes. And then all of a sudden it was like, it felt like somebody had made a decision that, you know what, fuck it, let's play this out anyway. And see if we can get out of here before it becomes a problem. So they came out and Halifax scored with like 6 minutes left to go in regular time.
Yep.
Hooray! Craziness. Wow, amazing. They've done it. Woo.
Yeah. And then like fucking 2 minutes from time,
Yeah.
Hundal pops one over the keeper. I'm
And
like,
just
what the fuck?
really like ugly, scrappy goal that the goalie really should not have allowed to happen. But I,
A
yeah.
bit. But like
Yeah.
it was entertaining. Like it was just kind of
Yes. Yes.
like this is the kind of game I want between my, five versus four. This is anyway, and then the penalties were particularly amusing because they were right in front of the Halifax supporters, as
Yeah.
one would do. And York fared well. They obviously won it. Went to a sixth round, and Halifax went out at home, and I think about 3 minutes later their coach got sacked. So
Yeah, they barely waited. Like it wasn't quite that bang bang, but or maybe it was, and they didn't announce it until like the next day, but it was like, oh, but Halifax were solid this year. What?
He didn't even get to safety from the Lightning before he got fired. I'm
Yeah.
like, I know that the officials don't care for everybody's safety, but the ownership should be a little more, sensitive.
You would think,
You would
however.
hope.
One would hope.
But like
Yeah.
honestly, the game had everything. It was so good.
I was very sad to have missed it. So then we turn around a few days later. While you guys advance to go up against Calgary and just get spanked. Like, just no
Yeah.
chance. Just no chance. It wasn't even close. Like it was, I like York was in the game. They scored a goal. They actually scored two because Luke Singh scored for Calgary. And then, Orchevsky, two more goals for him. Yeah, so that was, and I felt bad for the YU guys because they'd just gone through like a bunch of wildness and then, had to fly out to Calgary, like so they're going all over the place and stuff and dealing with this nonsense. And but also I sort of feel like it exemplifies York's season of we're good, we're not good, we're really good, we're okay. But about
Oh yeah.
now, but maybe not. Like it just,
Very hot and cold.
yeah, like talented team just couldn't, just doesn't have the consistency. It's really interesting to watch, honestly, how up and down they really were, and just how frustrating. Like I can't imagine, like as a player, as a coach, like how frustrating that is to live in it, to have like these really epic high moments and have these games in which they're dominant and they look so good and then they just look ridiculous the next match. And it's like, what did you do? Did you all sleep on the wrong side? Like, did nobody have breakfast? I don't understand. It's really interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if I don't know if I don't want to say York would ever be solved. They clearly have a either excellent scouting or really good contacts to put together just even a skeletal level, a very good side. And usually who they fill in with, they're young, they're learning, they're absorbing, they're getting better overall game to game. But like they just can't keep that momentum and mindset together for more than, 3 games at a time.
Like
And
the
yeah, and they
potential's
can show
there.
whomever, like big team, no problem. And then, have, with apologies, Pacific show up and just get absolutely steamrolled by him. Like it's very, come on, you guys are so close and you're so fun to watch. What the fuck? So I'm frustrated for York, as much as probably they are frustrated themselves. But let's see how close they get next time.
Fingers crossed. Duncan, you said you watched some of this, didn't you?
York versus Halifax, yes, it's pretty much the only thing that I watched. And yeah, like Mike's saying, it was a very sort of entertaining game, especially it's obviously because it was like raining and what have you, and it was kind of crazy. And then yeah, this the big sort of delay, that's not ideal, but there was something else to watch. I didn't get stuck like listening to Gareth Wheeler, for half an hour.
That
I had made sure
that
that
is the
that.
important thing right
Made
there.
sure that that didn't happen, and then the penalties. It's yeah, there were some good penalties in there, but it's a shame that Halifax lost. But c'est la vie. But then yeah, York versus Calgary, didn't watch any of that one or anything else. But yeah, I find it a little odd that Halifax is firing the coach. I feel like they had a good season by their usual standards. So presumably there's a bit more to it than just a case of, oh, well, we lost this game. So yeah, it happened that quickly. But yeah.
Mark,
Yes.
are you ready to talk about it?
You're gonna make me do it either way, so yes.
It's true.
So yes, Calgary's through to face whoever in the
Yeah.
repêchage game. Who is this
Indeed. I
fucking
love the
repêchage? Jeez.
repêchage.
Again. Fucking repêchage. Yeah, so first off, I would like to state that the officiating was horrific. I'm not usually the type of person that just leans on a bad official because my team blah blah blah. But there was significantly questionable call, not called, calls not called, which would have absolutely changed the entire trajectory of the match. And the fact that Ottawa is not shit. They're not shit. They're good. They're weirdly, like, their inconsistency is different than York's because they'll win games, but they don't win them all, and they probably could and should. And
Yes.
it's fucking weird that they were in second for so long. And even
So.
watching this game, it's like, I get why you guys like finished second, but I also don't fully understand how you couldn't finish first. So, whatever. So, Hamilton looked good for the most part. I feel like I'm sure the stats will. Yeah, the 53% possession for Hamilton. It felt like it was a lot more. At least the first half. The first half, I'm actually shocked that Ottawa had a goal, let alone a shot, because it just seemed like the ball was in front of my end the entire half. Salter with another fucking goal. Like, that guy needs to go. Don't be so greedy. Balotelli Tabla's right fucking there, okay? Just remember him. He played for Barcelona B, for fuck's sakes. Salter,
Yeah, respect.
You couldn't even make Barcelona D, you piece of shit. Anyway, guy's got 37 goals or whatever the fuck it is. I don't care anymore. So, Ottawa, they didn't deserve to win this, but if Hamilton's not willing to score enough goals, then Ottawa deserves to win this. It was a rough match. It was a rough match to watch, just because it's like as soon as the ref blew the very obvious to anybody watching the game at home, in the stadium, on the field, that was a handball. It's like you can just feel like this is going to be the thing that is going to haunt us for the remainder of this match and its outcome. And sure enough, it was. So I don't want to give credit to Ottawa, but whatever. Full marks to you for having a terrible ref on the pitch so you can get out of there with it. Yeah. I don't know. It was just, I think what it is that knowing that Calgary has found their boots, I don't like this is really a coin flip. Going into Sunday's match, I was sure that Hamilton was going to win this. Like, I really felt like, Ottawa is going to be eh, and they were kind of eh, but they scored more with their eh than Hamilton did. So, but seeing Calgary just fuck with York for fun, I can see a final where Hamilton's not in it. So,
Oh wow.
yeah,
Ooh.
I'm not super
That is a
convinced.
shocking lack of positivity, Marcus.
Yeah, I mean, the last 5 games of the season, there hasn't really been like, oh, these guys clearly are the champs moments. There really weren't. Yeah, they beat York in the last game of the season, finally locking up the first place that they've been flirting with all fucking season. Jesus Christ. But like, that's not a mark of a champion. That's not a mark of like dominance. That is a mark of like, wow, we really got lucky that we ended up here, aren't we, guys? High fives around awkwardly. So I don't know. I like prove me wrong. Like Hamilton proved me wrong. Calgary proved me wrong. I don't give a shit. But I'm not super amped. Back to you, Kristen.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, you're welcome. You were gonna make me do this anyway, so why not? Let's just do
Yeah,
it.
that's fair. That's totally fair. But you got to watch something anyway.
I got to watch a thing. Yes, I
You
did.
got to watch a thing.
Lucky, lucky me.
So now it so Ottawa is hosting the final. Halifax, Hamilton and Calgary will, yes, indeed play the repêchage this Sunday afternoon, and we will talk about that a little bit later. Speaking of depressing things, let's talk about the XNT for a minute or five or whatever. Not going so well are things for Casey Stoney's squad. And it's been an interesting day or two after the last loss, because they lost both friendlies, and have not they haven't really had that great a year, or at least last several months. But there's conversation about squad selection of like is a big one, right? And whether Casey Stoney is looking to the youth players enough, whether she's looking at the NSL enough. Like you look at the U17s right now, who are dominating, right? Like they are just having themselves a time. They cannot be beat right now. They're scoring for fun, and just really, really having a tremendous tournament. So, why aren't more players from there being pulled or being talked about? I also do want to point out once again, fucking Olivia Smith got injured while playing for Canada because like she's gonna start refusing to play. Do you know what I mean? Like
Oh,
her
health
club,
hazard.
her,
Yeah, of course.
yeah, like I swear, and like as soon as I saw that she got hurt in the first match, I was like, I wasn't trying to fucking manifest something here. Like,
Sounds
what
like somebody
the?
would manifest something.
Like,
Yep. Yep.
obviously.
Blame
So,
Kristen.
but, and then like she like after the loss to the Netherlands, like she ripped the team in post-match interviews. Like she literally like tore a strip off them publicly. And it's interesting. It's interesting to see that. Whether it's a worthwhile, and like again, we talk about whether or not you tear your team apart publicly. And do you do it in during friendlies? Do you do it when you've lost several players between friendlies? Like Caitlin Sheridan left the squad, Olivia Smith got hurt, Kaylee Hunter got hurt. There's players that have been coming back from injury that haven't looked the same since. Janine Becky, sorry, what is her last name?
Thank you. Saurus?
Starts with an S. Oh,
Yes.
Sonus. Sonus?
Sonus, sure.
Whatever. Janine S. Hasn't looked good. Like she has not, she's that player that we talk about so positively all the time that she can play anywhere, she can do anything, and that the team needs her so desperately.
She's
And
having an
from
identity crisis, Kristen.
maybe that's what it is. Maybe the name change has fucked her up. I don't know, man.
Because when they said her name, I'm like, oh, nice to see somebody new getting it. I completely forgot
Right?
that changed the name. It's like, yeah, that's how that, ladies and gentlemen, I follow football real good, as you can tell. So,
Yeah,
that was.
whatever happened to that girl? That one, like Drew Becky's brother, sister.
Yeah,
Hey, what
she's
happened to
great.
her?
Yeah,
Like, yeah,
she.
like,
I hope she's doing good in retirement.
Maybe she'll come back and, do some coaching in the NSL or something.
Oh, that
Yeah,
would be
right.
nice. That would be nice.
But yeah, it's one of those. I don't know what's happened the last few months. And again, I suffer by having not watched either match, just seeing some highlights and feedback from people who did watch. But the universal response from everybody I've talked to, various chat groups and things like that, has been they looked terrible. They looked uninterested. They looked unmotivated. Defending was suspect. There seemed to be no interest, like no emphasis to have good counterattacks or have good scoring chances. I saw some comments about Shalina Zdorsky looking like she's lost a step. I saw comments about youngster Jessie Fleming. But I saw a number of people saying that she looked slow and wasn't like, meeting challenges and stuff like that. And I don't know. Has this team quit on Casey Stoney already? Or is it really just a matter of Stoney not looking to refresh the team and therefore reinvigorate some of the existing players? Like, but 3 losses in a row. Not like they haven't been destroyed, but again, this is a team that's supposed to be one of the best in the world and have looked nothing like that of late. I don't know. Thoughts, gentlemen?
I mean, that happens to all sorts of good teams. We'll go through stretches where it's just not coming together. But yeah, I mean, I didn't watch the full game by any means, but I mean, yeah, it doesn't seem great right now. But you know, there's yeah, the Olivia Smith injury would be the worst thing that came from it. It's like, yeah, they lost some friendlies, whatever. Shit happens.
Yeah. I
See, Duncan with the positive take and supportive and
that's
optimistic.
always me.
I
Yeah,
love
proud of you.
this. This is why we have him on the show.
Proud of you. Oh, someone's got to be the sunshine, and Duncan's usually
That's
pretty
true. Well,
sunny.
it's obviously not me, so.
Yeah, no, not
No.
this curmudgeon here pointing to myself. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, want to talk about Forge again? Yeah, it's right. Pieces of shit. Anyway, yeah, like I'm kind of been leaning in towards what Duncan thinks, and then and it's the whole like, there's just friendlies, like they're just friendlies, and you know you try some things out, people get a run out, new you know some debuts like that Jeanine Sowers or whatever her name is, like fucking phenomenal, but. Like I take no stock in friendlies. Yeah, you want to win them, but the winner gets nothing. Like there's like maybe rankings if that if that's what we're going for is rankings, sure. But like I'm just kind of shrugging at these results. They're away from home, they're against opposition who are seemingly a little hungrier to show out in front of their home fans. And it's not like they've like I can't remember the I didn't see anything of the Switzerland game, but I did watch the highlight package of the Dutch game, and I mean they
No,
weren't
like
doing
it was
well.
a 1-0 loss, right? Like it
Right.
wasn't,
Like
again, like I said, it's not like they got their asses
weren't
handed to
yeah,
them.
these weren't 4-0, 5-0 blowouts. Like they
No.
just lost to teams that were at home. In a
That's a
friendly.
really good point.
So I don't know. I when it when we're doing qualifications, when we're doing tournaments, when we're doing any of that, yes, these matter. What the hell? What's wrong with everybody? What's going on? What's the gaffer doing? Who are the leaders? Why aren't they step like those are the to me the natural questions. But I yeah, like I understand the speculation because and I feel like because with the women, the friendlies are under a bigger microscope than say when the men have friendlies. But to me, they're both equally friendlies. So like I don't care. Like I say that I want them to do well, but if they lose, I'm not sack everybody. You know, why isn't so and so playing? Where's DB Pridham? Which is obviously a thing. And where the fuck is she? Come on. Come on. Answer me, Stoney. Yeah. Yeah, it's is what it is, but I'm not emotionally moved by to any extreme to praise or bury anyone.
Fair. Thank you, gentlemen. All right, well, speaking of women's soccer, the NSL. I realize this is not in the rundown because I accidentally erased it. I'm so sorry. I know. But
Whoa, I'm not
it's
prepared
okay.
then.
I'm just gonna say some things. You'll be fine. I believe in you.
Okay. Okay. Say them.
So the NSL season, the regular season ended a couple weeks ago.
No.
We've already discussed that. Toronto won. They their last match. They beat their
Disagree.
fierce rivals, Montreal. But before the playoffs start this weekend, which we'll talk about a little bit later, awards, because it is also, while it's end of season for various leagues, it also means we get awards and we get nominated for awards. Now, the NSL,
Preposterous. My goal
NFL
is.
rewards are pretty straightforward because, again, only six teams. There's not a lot of like, oh, we're gonna not, you know, there's not a lot of struggle for award stuff. So Toronto won the Supporters' Shield. Congratulations, Toronto.
I'm
We
sure it's
all knew that.
the Diana Matheson Spotter Shield.
No. Actually, I don't even know what they call it. I think they just call it the Supporters' Shield. I'm sure it must have a fancy name. But Marko Milanovic, who's the AFC Toronto's coach, shocking, no one won Coach of the Year.
The Diana Matheson Coach of the Year.
Yes, Diana Matheson was DMath Coach of the Year. Yes, sorry. DB Pridham, Delaney Bailly. I just, you know, everyone just calls her DB. DB was won the Diana Matheson Golden Boot and
Excellent.
was also
Oh, for
named
trophy
Player
night.
of the Year as voted on by the players. So I don't know if I can call that the Diana Matheson Player of the Year,
Sure, why
but
not? I think you can,
sure,
yeah.
why not?
The award wouldn't exist if it wasn't for Diana Matheson.
I
So,
mean, this is very, very true. You're both very accurate in these statements. And then oh God, where is the
Halifax won the Diana Matheson wooden spoon.
yes. Yes, they did. Da, 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 Esther Okoronkwo, I got it. Okoronkwo won for assist leader.
I mean, that could generally be a Diana
That should.
Matheson award.
That's true.
The fact that this joke died before you got to the assist one, you know what?
I
That's the one that she isn't named after.
and oh my God, where's the other thing I was looking for? Because Rookie of the Year was not Holly Ward, but actually I believe it was also oh God, where is she? It was Kaylee Hunter from AFC Toronto. Golden Glove was Morgan McCaslin from The Rise. And Defender of the Year was Jaleesa Harris from Ottawa. Midfielder of the Year, Emma Regan from AFC Toronto.
Is it
And then,
defender of the year and midfielder of the year?
yes,
I
it's
feel
their
like
first season. There's an everything of the year.
you started this off by saying there aren't that many awards because there's only
Well,
16,
but
so
I meant like there's
but
not
there's
like, you
awards
know,
for
we
everything here.
well, it meant it's like we've nominated five people and we've narrowed it down to three and this and that.
Okay.
This is, yeah, this
But
is
the best number one of the year, the best number two of the year. Best number three of the year.
Standing number 17.
Yes.
The Diana Matheson outstanding number 17. I'm sorry.
Anyway,
Yes.
some of the top ones. So for like Golden Glove for Morgan McCaslin, nine clean sheets for Vancouver. DB Pridham had 18 goals. It's pretty solid. Out of Ottawa's, I can't remember how many Ottawa had. And then Esther Okoronkwo, seven assists. So anyway, those are. And I'm not even going to go team of the year or anything like that, but those are some of the exciting awards leading into the first ever NSL playoffs, which is two-legged semifinals between the top four. We'll talk about a couple of those towards the end of the show. They do start this Saturday, though, so before their Saturday afternoon, so there's time for you to watch that before any other sports balling of any other type may occur. Just saying that. Let's move on to some things that we're talking about. And speaking of awards, because I just mashed this all around, CanPL Awards. See, CanPL does all the nominating because they nominate everybody and they do all the things.
Do they still
And
have a like an award show?
I believe
This,
so. Yes, the
okay.
award ceremony will be on Friday, November 7th.
Ceremony, that's a word, that's the word, not a show. Ceremony.
Well, but they
Yeah.
broadcast it. It's like a show.
Does Gareth Wheeler still do a comedy monologue to start it off?
Oh God, I hope so. Where else can we find out all these killer jokes that he's telling himself? In the bathroom, when nobody's around. I'm so funny.
So let's see, Defender of the Year, Daniel Nimick, that's not a surprise. Rezart Rahma, one of my favorite player names ever, and Noah Abatna. So those are the three. So Ottawa, Hamilton, and Hamilton, players. Winners to be decided by club technical leadership and media voting.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, who are you guys voting for? Aren't we media? Who are you voting for?
I
Come on,
mean,
Ali, hook us up.
I still get some of the media emails, but I did not get a ballot, so sorry. Let's see. For Golden Glove, we've got Carducci, Nathan Ingham, and then Kololat. So, Mark, who you got?
I mean, oh God, I don't know if any one of these are really a definitive
I
winner.
know. I think.
I mean, like, it's pro I wouldn't be surprised if it goes to Kololat. I don't know how much of the clean sheets and defensive record really falls in his lap, but
Like, if you're
sure.
just looking at like goals against, then it's like, well, of course it should go to Kolarov
Yeah.
because, you know, Hamilton
I mean,
really tied this game defensively, but
I've seen Ingham have enough howler matches and Carducci have enough howler matches that the number of howler matches that Kolelat's had should by default give him the trophy.
but having said that, I've also seen Carducci stand on his head,
Well, for
like.
sure, for sure. Like Carducci
I feel like
at his
he. I feel
best
like
is
it's
the
him and
best in the
Cole a
league.
lot. I feel like Ingham is just sort of there as a Ottawa. We're good this year, therefore the keeper should be nominated.
For sure.
I feel, you know, Carducci and Ingham have been around for ages. This
That's
call a
true.
lot sounds like a new name. Let's let him have it. That's the extent of my analysis there.
Quality.
Solid
Yes,
analysis.
yes.
I like it. You should do that more often.
Yeah, also if Kyle Beck is nominated for anything, no, he doesn't get it.
No, absolutely fucking not. No, we refuse. Let me see here. Have they not announced any other awards yet? Is it just the two so far?
Yeah, don't they trickle them out over the week or
I
something
keep
like that?
forgetting this. Okay, so we'll talk about more of them next week. It's so annoying. And then but then I guess the main thing, which we've already sort of we discussed it or mentioned it several times when we were talking about the CanPL playoffs, but Patrice Gaisard let go by Halifax. Still, I really am a little mystified by it. Like, not like, oh my God, how dare they, but a little like I feel like Halifax was always in the mix this year. You know, they finished strong to take fourth. They were, you know, within shouting of third. I don't know. I thought that this was like one of their if it, I, this is probably their best season, really. Like when you look at like when we talk about like consistency and always competing and always being in games and stuff. So yeah, like I wonder, you know, you were saying maybe there's something more to this.
There, I kind of would have had him on the short list for Coach of the Year, to be like, I feel like I would love to know if Halifax does. I think we may have talked about this once a while ago. If Halifax has difficulty like getting people to commit to play out in Halifax for the summer, right? So I always kind of feel like they get not necessarily the best of the best that is available on rosters, because like if it's going to be, say, do you want to play, close to where you grew up, or do you want to move to Halifax? Like, you'd pick close to home, right? So I always feel like if Halifax can punch above their station, then they're doing great. And this year I felt like they were punching way above their station, but like that's, and I don't mean that like insultingly, they look great. There were games where
Yeah,
they looked truly great.
they were so fun to watch. They
Yeah.
were probably the most fun team to watch this year.
I would not argue this. I would not argue this. I would say fun in the sense that, York are fun chaos.
Yes, I was just gonna say
They're
it's between the
fun.
two of them. Yeah.
They're fun optimism. Like,
Yes.
and Vancouver is fun hate. They'll score goals, but man, will they concede them. Jesus. They were. I don't get this at all. I really don't understand it, because what are the chances that the coaches that didn't make the playoffs, how many of them will keep their jobs? It just seems so weird that, there has to be, he said a couple too many sideways comments to the president. Sure, yeah, that's gonna get you shit canned. That's not gonna put you on anybody's favorites list. But I feel like his results show that he can get people to buy in, and that is super huge in a league like this, where the buy-in will take you from being, seventh or eighth into
Yeah.
being fourth or third. And they were damn near third for a few minutes too. Like,
Yeah.
this isn't like, oh, they fell off near the end. No, fuck that shit. They were never catching the top two, but then again, nobody was catching the top two. In August, nobody was catching them.
Yeah.
So it was like the next battle was who's finishing third. And Halifax was right up there up until like the last couple rounds. So yeah, I don't get it. I do not get this. And I don't know if we're ever going to hear if there was a real reason, but sucks.
Oh, sports ball.
Stupid sports.
Stupid sports ball. All right. Well, let's move on to a bit of TFC talk. And as we already mentioned, they finished, their season on a positive note with the nice win and everything. And then announced their year-end roster moves ahead of media day and or it was very, because media day, was it the same? Was media day the day before? I'm trying to remember, because when did Toronto have their media day? Because I remember thinking, oh, it's really weird that Luca Gavrin is the one that's talking for the Keepers and not Sean Johnson, and then saw the whole release for the player decisions. Anyway, so yeah, so for if you didn't watch the media day, we had Richie Larea, we had George Michael, Jonathan Osorio, Luca Gavrin, Jason Hernandez, and Robin Fraser. Those were your choices. For the interviewees that day. And then, yeah, some surprises. So we'll do the surprises in terms of decline the options on, which doesn't mean that they're not coming back. The team has said that they are in conversation with select players, which is,
Ooh.
polite way of saying there's like one person we're still talking to. Sean Johnson is the surprising one to me. So we've got Sean Johnson, Kevin Long, Raul Petretta, Sigurd Rosted, Nathaniel Edwards, question mark. I'm assuming a baby red. Derek Etienne Jr., Hugo Mbonge, who is out on loan anyway, right? And Charlie Sharp. Now that one,
Oh no, not Charlie
not
Sharp.
Charlie Sharp, I know. The they did oh they did exercise their purchase option for Theo Corbiani,
Yay.
so he'll be back,
Yeah,
which I actually
amicably.
think is I think that's a good bit of business. I
Yes.
do. He didn't he was not fantastic the whole season, but I think he's a good piece to bring back. I do. And then Maxime Dominguez, they just let the loan deal expire. But yeah, Sean John, either they have a lot of faith in Luca Gavrin or he is renegotiating hard, and I would not blame him.
For sure.
Yeah. I
Like,
feel like didn't.
get that contract, man. You
Yeah.
deserve it.
Okay. Yes. I think, do we need to be spending that much money on Sean Johnson? Is the team good enough that, oh, yeah, you're getting a top quality goalie, spending a lot of money on a goalie, is that's going to be the thing that kind of pushes over the edge or anything? Yeah. We could probably spend that better elsewhere. Find a cheaper goalie, whether it is Gavrin or. I see a bunch of people randomly throwing out there, Maxime Crépeau.
Yeah, I did see a
He's
lot of
not
people
playing a,
talking about that.
he's not really playing a Poland. He could head of the World Cup. He could do with a move to somewhere where he'll get like actual playing time, and the TFC might need a goalie that's going to be, good but take up less money than Sean Johnson. I'd be down for that. I'd enjoy seeing Crépeau on the team.
For sure.
He would get a lot of practice.
How much is
Yeah.
he? Why does that not bring up him? Oh my God. Sorry, I'm looking at the salary thing.
Yeah, Sean Johnson,
Oh yeah,
it,
making less than Sean John, that's for sure.
team results wise, it hasn't worked out while he's been here, but that's not his fault. He's played well. So,
Yeah, and
best of luck to him. You've got, 2 or 3 years left of potentially getting some big money. So,
so
yeah.
the interesting thing with that in terms of what
Go
if he's
for it.
not yeah if he's not trying to if he's not going to get more money out of Toronto, with a renegotiation, which again he can point at what he did for the team this season and be like, give me more money, because he absolutely was a key piece, especially, he started the season rough, but he had their results notwithstanding, he had a very good season in terms of, having to stand on his head and having to be a good goalkeeper. But there's a lot of talk. Talking about Maxime Crépeau, maybe coming to Toronto, maybe, Luca Gavrin already with his first call up to the men's national team, who's, do something like that. But also with Brad Guzan retiring, people just constantly keep bringing up that Sean Johnson's from Atlanta and maybe he wants to go play at home to finish out his career.
Yeah.
And that's not an unheard of thing, right? So that to me, out of all those pieces, that is the one that I have the most curiosity or concern about. I like Petretta. If they could bring him back maybe for slightly less money. Rosted.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know if we'll miss him or not. Like, he's fine, but also. And then Kevin Long. Again, if Kevin Long's coming back, it's got to be on a reduced salary as far as I'm concerned. But who is that Nathaniel Edwards person? Oh yeah, that's got to be a baby red based on how much money he's being paid. All right. So that's those were sort of that's what stood out for me. Although Etienne,
Yeah.
I know you don't like him. I go back and forth on him. Like again, it'll be fine. It'll be fine if he's gone, right? Like it'll be fine. So guaranteed sticking around, or at least guaranteed MLS contracts. So we've got Adisa De Rosario and Luca Gavrin, Stephane Kapoor, Richie Larea, Zane Monlouis, Adam Perlman, who's out on loan, Lazar Stefanovic, Henry Wingo, Jose Cifuentes, Marcus, oh God, Simmer Manchik, Alonso Cuejo, George Michael, Oso, Cassius Malula, who's on loan and I don't think is coming back, right? Like, we seemed like that his current loan might want to keep him, but who knows? That kid, man. Anyway. And then 1 year contract options were exercised on Kobe Franklin, Nixon Gomis, I hope you're healthy, Malik Henry, Kosi Thompson, gotta have legs on the team, DeAndre Kerr, and Jules Anthony Vincent, who actually, you know what, he didn't play a ton, you know, after they picked him up, but I like him. I think I'm glad that they exercised an option for him. And I think, like, this little grouping, the 1 year options, like, they're good pieces. They're not, like, none of these are your stars. Malik Henry, I know everyone talks, has a lot of very positive things to say about him. Like, I think there's some good players here that you want to have on your team. Also some Canadian players, which I always like to have as part of the mix. So that's nice. But yeah, I think that they are going about this in a good way in terms of clearing space for what obviously has to be a busy off season. Anybody you guys would have been like, ah, we probably could have turfed him already too, kind of thing, without knowing whatever their contract rule, you know, like, contract situation was?
I mean, probably like almost any of them, but at the same time, but we got like 12 players now, so we probably couldn't really afford to get rid of any more. So, you know, it's pretty best to keep some people around. You know, Larea, George Michael, Corbiano, sure, Gavron, absolutely, keep those guys. Aside from that, there's not a massive amount of people that I'm like, oh, yes, absolutely. Couldn't think of letting this guy go. And Osorio, you know, just for emotion's sake. Yeah, he's been here a while. Yeah, he's not completely done yet. Keep him around, sure. But, you know, there's a lot of expendability still in that this is who we've kept list.
I think there's also a couple options to move some players back down to the baby Reds, depending on who they pick up, right? So
probably, yes.
Because there's a couple of those players that is, you know, obviously where they've come from. Marcus?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? When Duncan said expendability, like, I feel like the salary caps in this league and the salaries kind of mess me up, because when you have to look at how much they take up, it becomes an issue of, is this worth it? Is it worth Sigurd Rosted to be Sigurd Rosted. I like him as a player. I don't $800,000 like him as a player, right?
Well, do you like Cifuentes for 1.4?
I don't know if I've seen enough of him to be like...
Yeah, I have no clue. I was like, when I saw that was his salary, I was like, okay. Like, I don't... Yeah, like, I can't... I think that Alonso Cuejo probably needs a raise.
Cuejo, yeah, keep him around. Yeah. Sure, yes.
I think he's good value for the money.
Oh, absolutely. I quite like him. You know, yeah, Derek Etienne, you know, we're not going to miss his $250,000, you know, we'll spend that somewhere else. But yeah, like, a bunch of the kids don't make that much money. You know, DeAndre Kerr doesn't make that much. You know, Richie's expensive. George Michael, I think, is, you know, like, not surprisingly, getting over $2 million. Oso and Richie are making about the same. So Petretta's $850. Sigurd Rosted is $800. Henry Wingo, 700,000, really? How do you have such a contract? Interesting.
Yeah, that was another one I was like, huh?
Huh. That
Sure.
actually is the one that I'm like, really? And you know, I'm actually surprised that Corbiano is under 500, so
Yeah, I think that loan kind of
that's true. It was
possibly
a mid-season
skews.
loan deal. Yeah. So that'll probably be different next year, which is fine. I don't begrudge him making a little bit more money, right? But I think the important thing, even when we look at a couple that look a little maybe, while keeping in mind the MLS salary structure is just bonkers,
Yes.
but at least the low-level players are no longer living in poverty, so that's nice. Is that I don't really look at this. I don't look at their salary list, and think, man, they have saddled themselves with some bad contracts. You know, like that. You don't have an Insigne or a Bernardeschi, type contract on here right now. They may very well again because they don't have any star players, and that's coming. We know that they've been stockpiling cash, selling off apparently an endless supply of international slots and things like that. But I don't think right now I don't really see much on this roster, especially considering who's not coming back, probably that I am greatly offended by in terms of what someone's being paid. I think most people, in terms of MLS money anyway, and relative talent level, I think these are all pretty solid looking contracts. I wouldn't be angry at the front office for these personally.
Yeah, I kind of agreed. Like, especially with the whole, there's nobody eating up a huge chunk that just breaks my brain.
Yeah.
I think it's the whole, some of these guys are overvalued as far as I'm concerned,
Sure.
but that's not what this is. That's not what you were talking about. There's always going to be players who are, oh, this guy's making really far more than I think what he's worth. Oh, this guy's really good value for money. That's on every side in the entire league. But there isn't somebody making $8 million and being a pain in
No,
the
that's Sergio
not my
Busquets.
problem.
Messi makes 20. Oh my God.
Jesus. I just.
Over 20 million guaranteed compensation. Oh my God.
Where's he putting his franchise? Did he say?
Holy shit. And he's re-signed too, right? Like he's coming back for
Yeah,
3 years. I was
awesome.
like, when I saw that, I was like, maybe one more year. 3 years? The fuck? Yeah, if you want to break your brain and wonder how MLS works, and just, to reassure yourself that it is a corrupt organization that allows certain teams to do whatever the fuck they want, just go look at Miami's salary list. Because excuse the fuck out of me. But how? How? Jordi Alba gets $6 million.
They've
Jordi
got th
Alba.
there's three players that make almost $35 million on Inter Miami. Go ahead, try to make it make sense. Just a little bit, assholes.
They sell a lot of jerseys. They bring in money and what have you
Honestly,
and eh?
if that was outlined somewhere other than that napkin that they call a rule book, I would be all for it. It's like, because the one thing that they do in the Bundesliga is like you can't spend outside of your means. So if you're like making bank off of jerseys, and you somehow ship 2 million jerseys last season more than another club, well, that goes into what you can spend next season. In that case, fucking go nuts, sure,
No.
but. I don't know how many Jordi Alba shirts are being sold. Or Busquets, for that matter.
Oh man.
True, true.
Like I think the LAFC has already made half of their money back
On
on
Sun
Sun, so
jerseys?
like,
Yeah. Well, speaking of 11 mil.
yeah, but have you been on MLS.com? How much the fucking shirts cost?
Yeah, that's true. He's just
They sell
subsidizing
40 of them, and that's half.
it.
My math might be a bit off, but.
You know, like, yeah, like LAFC is probably like, you know, the next most egregious offender in this, which is again not a surprise. But you know, Suns is the standout run, obviously. Bwanga, 3.7. I mean, that makes sense for him actually. But they have a lot of, you know, up over half a mil players. They've got a lot of high pirate, you know, they've got a few kids, but anyway, LAFC again, not a surprise that they would be one of the teams that has the budget and has the things, has all the toys. But yeah, it's and again, Toronto has played that game, right? Like, absolutely. This is not that Toronto is never, MLSC hasn't just like opened the vaults and thrown massive amounts of money. Of course they have. We've been one of the clubs that had, you know, did we have the highest salary in the league for like 2 years in a row or something?
Something like that.
You know, like this, I'm not saying this is like, oh no, but again, but when you look at Miami, I just can't take it. There's no way that this makes sense.
Not even a little.
Oh, MLS. Why are you like this? Anyway, but yeah, if you want to have some fun or just like hurt your brain, we will put the MLS player salaries page in the show notes for you to peruse, if you want to see what your favorite player makes or what you know, your most hated team, you know, is spending on things. I will point out that Tommy Boy, it's only making 1.4 for now.
Yeah, that surprised me.
I know. I was like, I had to look at it multiple times because I kept thinking I had like scrolled to the wrong thing. And like, I know he joined late, but presumably next season, because I'm assuming he's back next season. I can't remember how long his deal was for. That will change dramatically. You know, but yeah, that is a bargain and a half to get Thomas Mueller for $1.4 million. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, I don't care where he is in his career. $1.4 million? Really? Okay, sure.
Can I
Here
get
you
two of
go.
him?
Yeah, honestly.
Are there others? I mean, just
What else? Toronto, can you do something about this? Like, yeah, like that's when I see that, I'm like, God damn. I more of this, please, for us. Anyway, but yeah, the salary stuff is always a mind fuck, just because you have to remember it's professional sports and the money makes no sense and it never makes any sense. And all you can do is either be happy or be outraged on behalf of your team or your favorite player. It's an interesting thing. But yeah, $20 million for Messi, $6 million for Jordi Alba. Suarez only makes 1.5. He's a bargain. So
Yeah, that's a
anyway.
steal.
Sam Adekugbe approaching a million.
Good for him.
Get that bag, Sam. But yeah, salary stuff, always a riot. And I do love that it always, they, you know, because it does get released regularly. Like, this isn't like a surprise. All the playoffs are coming. Here you go. But you know, they it always gets released around this time. You know, season's over, contracts are being, you know, terminated or extended or whatever. So it's always fascinating to see the current money, right? And then next spring, when we get the spring one to see the change. Oh, it's so fun. She says through gritted teeth. Well, we didn't. We'll talk about this next week because this is. We've got so much to talk about. We will talk about the new coach and the sporting director and all the stuff that FC Supra is doing. They've announced a bunch of things, but we'll discuss that next week. And we'll start to also look ahead to men's national team matches next week as well. But right now we're going to talk about some Canadian soccer playoff scenarios from the CanPL and the NSL. So coming up on Sunday, it's the repechage between your Hamilton Ticats. No.
So there's sorry. No repechage in the CFL.
I know. But wouldn't it be fun if there was?
I think every league should have a fucking repechage.
Absolutely. I concur wholeheartedly.
I feel like the all due respect, you know, intended, but the lesser minor sports, professional sports in this country are leading the way to some absolutely kooky shit that we need everywhere else. Between the PWHL jailbreak and their call your shot nonsense, yeah, and this repechage gauntlet thing that we've got in the CanPL, like, yes, more. None of this 7-game series, 1 plays 4. Ooh, like no. Let's go for nuts. Let's go for, oh, that's drama. I love it. Baked in, right? Just when somebody opens their mouth, we want to play Ottawa. Like, pfft, you're done. So good. Anyway, sports.
So much fun. Are you going on Sunday, Mark?
Yes, I am. I'm
nice.
Going to try to bring the same sunny disposition as my esteemed colleague Duncan when attending this match, because I've already gone over this because you forced me to talk about it in the game before this.
It's true, I did.
Monster.
Also true.
Yeah, I'll be definitely going to this and hopefully I'm wrong. Like, because I already did like effectively what I think is going to happen.
I know.
Hopefully I'm wrong.
Well, here, let me give you some stats.
Do it.
This will be the 10th playoff match between Hamilton and Calgary.
That sounds accurate.
Yes. Hamilton have lost just once against Calgary in their last 11 meetings in Hamilton.
Why are you doing this to me? You're setting me up.
I'm so sorry.
It feels like that's where this is going.
No. I'm just reading a list of facts from the CanPL website. It's not my fault.
Listeners.
Blame Mitchell Tierney. It's not my fault. He did
is
this.
Is this trolling? I don't know if this is trolling.
I'm not trying to troll. I was trying to be helpful.
I don't think you are, but I think it inadvertently kind of.
I didn't mean to. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Well, Kristen, you got a couple days. We'll know soon enough.
Okay.
We'll know soon enough.
Sorry.
It's okay. I appreciate it.
Okay. I'll stop reading the list of things.
No, keep reading the list. It's happening. No.
None of these 17 all-time games between Hamilton and Calgary in Hamilton have ever been decided by more than one goal.
Okay.
So that won't be stressful at all.
No.
What is this? Oh my God, this is a very complicated sentence. Calgary have scored 10 goals inside the first 15 minutes this season. Only once did they not win after doing so. Ah, okay. Well, that was a 1-1 draw with Hamilton. This would be Hamilton's 7th final in CanPL's 7 years. No wins in the past 7 road matches for Calgary, who have conceded 16 goals during that time. There you go. And then Tobias Warshawski has 5 goal contributions in 3 CanPL playoff matches. He is tied with Hamilton's David Chouinard for most CanPL playoff goals with 4 each. So there you go.
Dare he taunt the legend?
Exactly. So yes, the match is Sunday at 4 o'clock in Hamilton on One Soccer and TSN 2. There we go.
Nice.
This is a traditional playoff match, as mentioned. You know,
Kind of is.
it doesn't feel like the CAMPL playoffs if Hamilton and Calgary don't find at least a way to play one another. I still think Hamilton's gonna win. I know that Calgary beat up on the YU guys, but again, why you guys are inconsistent and they were tired as fuck. So that's my excuse for them. No, I again, this is usually a good game. There's usually it's a heightened emotion. It very quickly became the rivalry, right? So and they do always seem to play each other, just how it happens. They tend to be two good teams and they end up in the playoffs together. So there's a lot of emotion. You know, and then you have Tommy Wheeldon Jr.'s beautiful hair and impeccable style, and then Bobby's beard, and his, you know, team that will seemingly do whatever he wants them to do no matter what. Like it's a good matchup. It's weirdly unfortunate that it's not the final just based on like emotion and past stuff, but it will be interesting for the final to be in Ottawa. I think Hamilton's going to win. I think it's going to be 2-1 Hamilton. And I'm going to watch Tobias and Chouinard because I want to see which one of them comes away with the playoff goal lead at the end of the match.
Fair. If Chouinard can get more than a half of playing time,
Fair.
I like this is obviously a case where Smyrniotis is seeing something that my biased eyes it can't see, can't recognize. Because he's still chaos, he's still clever. He's still fantastic. So, sure, Bobby, I didn't get, 21 games without a loss. So, clearly, one of us knows what we're doing. Yeah, unfortunately, you say a lot of good things in that report. And that makes me sus about the whole thing. I can't help it. I can't help it.
I
Like
know, I'm sorry.
it's like while I know I mostly jest about the bias that I have towards Forge, partially because it's hilarious. Again, that the team that's down the road from me is the one that's dominating the shit of this league.
Right.
But also too, like I'm not so devoid of tactical talent, recognition that I can just blindly go, oh yeah, no, we're the best. Like, no, there's reasons. I see the reasons. I understand the reasons. It's just what I've seen in the last couple of weeks have really questioned, like, can they get to the final? Like, I'm not even thinking about winning the final. Can they get to the damn thing? Will they book their Via Rail train ticket all the way up to Ottawa?
Nice,
Because,
nice, nice sponsor drop there.
I mean, if you want to get there within 7 hours, yeah,
Exactly. That's the way to
it's
go.
fine. Yeah, I was gonna say, if you want to take 8 hours to be getting to Ottawa, then sure, for your rail.
Yeah, the slower way to go. So yeah, everything was compelling, Kristen. I don't like it at all.
Okay.
So who am I watching?
Do you want to offer up? What's your doom prediction?
The doom prediction
Calgary
is
2-0. Like what?
Yeah, it's Calgary 2-0. Warshawski gets the second one because he annoys me. And the first one will just be everything will be defensively pristine, but it'll be an absolute calamity, and that will be the collapse right there. It's just no response. It's just like, oh shit, what do we do? Like they forgot all how to play after that goes in, and then Warshawski will just kind of dance his way through and pop one in, and Kolalat will be left hanging out to dry. I want to think that Hamilton can win this, but I don't see it. But thank you, Duncan. I'm also not expecting you to say nice things just to make me feel better. That's not what this is.
No. It's not about making you feel better, Mark. But yeah, Hamilton are going to win. Absolutely. Why not? I mean, how long did they go in the season without losing? I'm so sure they've lost a lot recently, you know, relatively speaking. But no, it'll be fine. Hamilton wins. Absolutely.
Amazing.
3-0.
Ooh.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sunshine.
Yes.
Seriously, like just Sunshine personified.
Yeah. And fuck Calgary.
Well, that's true. Ooh. All right. Beautiful. Also, yeah. So Duncan and I with the on the side of reason, and Mark just succumbing to the darkness.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. NSL. First playoffs. Woo. I don't know why I said it like that. No, okay. So playoffs start this weekend on Saturday. Oh, this is where I got confused. This match is at noon. That's why. Montreal hosting Toronto at Stade Boreal. It'll be on CBC. And you know, these were again two of the better teams all season. Toronto obviously just pulled away the last month or so, and they did beat Montreal in their last meeting, because Montreal, yeah, they fell apart down the stretch, whereas Toronto was just, you know, pretty much unstoppable. Over the two legs, I expect Toronto to advance to the final, but in Montreal, at Stade Boreal with their fans, you know, playoff atmosphere. Let's see, Kaylee Hunter's, how hurt is she? Montreal hasn't lost anybody. Trying to think here. I don't know. Maybe a 1-1. Maybe a 1-1. Yeah, I'll say 1-1 for the away leg, and then next week we'll discuss the home leg.
Yeah, I can kind of see that. Like Montreal's
talented. They're looking for some redemption, you know.
Yeah, like even if it's Montreal 2-1.
Yeah.
Like I can see Montreal stealing the game, but it's going to be close. I also wouldn't be surprised if Toronto also wins the game. I'm going to go with your 1-1. That I'll buy a ticket for that.
Yeah, fuck it. Awuga, 1-1.
Wow, that was easy.
Nice. Love it. All right, so then that brings us to the second of the first legs, which is Ottawa and Vancouver. Vancouver hosting Tuesday night, so 10 p.m. But you know, we've stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning watching the Blue Jays. You can stay up till midnight to watch some soccer. I believe in everybody. That one's on TSN. And yeah, this was, you know, Vancouver was that really odd team this year. You know, they started off really well and then they fell to pieces and then they came back, and Ottawa was a little more consistent. They lost a couple down the stretch, but It's so funny. Out of the top four teams, Vancouver is the least. Vancouver's the worst defensive side. They've let in almost as many goals as they scored. But they were winning games by scoring. That was basically what they were doing. And don't know, man. Like, they have a possibility to take Ottawa, but I don't even know if at home I feel that. Although they did beat Ottawa recently at home. Yeah, I feel less confident about this series. Just you never know which Vancouver side is going to show up. Like, you can feel like generally Ottawa is going to score some goals and they're going to be pretty solid defensively. Vancouver could score like 5 goals or they could let in 5 goals. Like, I don't know. But playing at home, what? I don't know. I don't know. I actually think Ottawa might go in and steal a point. Help. Somebody help me.
Steal a point.
Well,
Are they
steal a.
playing? Are they playing for
You.
points here?
Shh. I do this every time and then you point it out to me. Haha. Take the first leg. I just think they have potential to go into. To go to Langley and do that. Or not Langley. No, where are they playing?
Burnaby.
Thank you.
This one's hard because it depends on which teams obviously shows up, because
Yeah, like I just.
like Vancouver is probably the most hot cold team that I've seen
Yeah,
this season,
that's what I mean. Like I just.
and Ottawa's hot off. Like when they're decent, but they don't produce goals. Whereas Vancouver will either score the bunch and then be locked in the back, or wide open at the back and all the forwards forgot their boots.
Yeah.
So I'm going to assume Vancouver's hit a stride. I think it's going to be 2-0 Ottawa, or sorry, 2-0 Vancouver, and the return leg is going to be hella interesting.
That sounds plausible. Let's go with that. Agreed.
Thanks.
Awooga? Kinda.
Yeah, I'm here for that. Let's do that.
Oh yeah, sweet.
I
Wow.
concur. I love this.
We are making massive progress this week. Yes.
I like some playoff chaos, you know, like, and it's their first playoffs. So it's like, let's make shit interesting.
It's everyone's first playoffs. My
I
first playoffs. A coloring
know,
book.
I know. I'm picturing, I'm envisioning the picture book now. But yeah, it's I think it's gonna be fun. I think it really is. I only wish I weren't working on Saturday so that I could watch the Toronto Montreal match, but I am, so such is life. But I will watch, I'll stay up and watch the Vancouver Ottawa match next Tuesday for sure. So, well, all right. Shockingly, that is our show. We're done. I know. I know.
We
I thought
did
it was gonna
okay.
be, I thought I honestly thought we were gonna be here longer too. So, but I'm not complaining because, yeah, coming in under two. I'm impressed by all of us. Well done. Good job,
Hooray.
everybody. I'm proud of you all. Do please join us next week when we talk about, sorry, my very loud phone notifications. We talk about this first legs of the NSL playoffs. We see what happens in the repêchage between Hamilton and Calgary. We'll talk FC Supra, see if anything more interesting happens with any TFC contracts or things like that. And we'll take a peek at the MLS playoffs, which we were going to maybe do tonight, but nothing's been decided yet because it's all round three match. Whatever. I don't know. There's too many games. They play too much. they play far too much.
Way too much.
Way too much. And since nothing is decided, who cares right now? Honestly. Go Minnesota. Strictly for Dane St. Clair. That's really the only reason. Yeah, and fuck Miami. So, anyway.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that one I can definitely get behind.
Sweet. All right. Well, that is our show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us. Go Jays, go. Hopefully we will be also celebrating a World Series win for Toronto on our next show, because that is something that we will definitely do when it happens. All right. I have been joined by these two delightful gentlemen, as always, to be found out there on the Twitters at Duncan D. Fletcher, Mr. Duncan Fletcher.
Delightful.
Yeah.
I'm too tired to be delightful. Can't pull that off this week.
Sorry. This ener not energetic. I don't know. This person that podcasts, Duncan Fletcher.
There we go.
That'll sort him too.
Yeah. Yeah, there we
All
go.
right. There we
That
go.
describes tonight.
On the tweet machine at Kitner Mark with a K, not a Q, Mr. Mark Hinckley.
Thank you to everybody who supports our podcast by listening, Patreon, Tip Jar, whatever. We appreciate you. Thanks for listening. And I hope you guys are right. I'm still thinking about the weekend with forging, forge, and forges. Okay. So, yeah. Hooray, football. Woo.
Yeah.
Go sports.
Go sports. Go sports balls. As for me, you can find me on the internet. Yes, the entire internet at KZ Knowles. I have been your host, Kristen Knowles. And until next week, Canada, get used to it.